hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie.
Hey there, girlfriend.
Hello, mama.
May I sing something to you? Happy birthday to you.
Well, so funny. The first thing you said was you were not going to mention my birthday. I mean, that was literally the last thing you said to me 4 seconds ago.
I'm sort of like OCD like that.
You're also contrarian.
I'm a contrarian.
I never really can trust what you say because it's all about like, well, whatever the mood hits me and so forth.
But see, I'm like a child. I don't hear the words don't. Well, like when you said don't talk about my birthday, yeah, I heard talk about my birthday.
Because my subconscious mind doesn't hear the word, doesn't hear negatives.
Doesn't hear negatives.
Can I tell you something?
Is it bullshit?
And it kind of feels like that's bullshit because all my brain does hear is negative.
I'm sorry.
It is what it is. There you go. But hey, everyone, how you doing out there? You know, I was listening to NPR on Friday, and I think their topic was to they called it like not reburying old bones or revisiting old things. Mm-hmm. And like one of the here's some of the story plots they had. Mm-hmm. One was this woman; she was in This American Life. Producer, and she was talking. She went with her family to Greece to exhume her grandma's body.
Oh,
because I guess in Greece, the tradition is they get buried for a couple years, uh-huh. and then the flesh falls off the bones and so forth, uh-huh. and then you dig them up,
exhume them,
so that there's space for the next dead person, and that's kind of how it is.
What do you do with the bones then?
I had to get out of my truck during that time, so I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it gets, I don't know. But
yeah.
What you don't want is, because sometimes the body can still be juicy, and you don't want that. Because
you want to wait long enough,
but not
too long that you're taking up valuable real estate.
Exactly, exactly.
Because the next person waiting to melt.
Exactly. And then they also talked about I think it was about bones. It must have been all about
like,
bones.
We don't want to live on an island where space is a commodity.
So, there is no space. You've always wanted to be island girl.
Yeah, because where we go to the cemetery to run Elliot and pee and stuff, there's like plenty of room for more dead people.
Yes, there is definitely room. Yeah. And that's what you kind of want. Because nowadays, we're like, I don't know if I want to be buried. Who really goes to these places anyway? Yeah. I mean, I go to the cemetery all the time to walk my dog, and there's nobody there visiting.
No.
A lot of dog walkers.
No. That's where we go. And nobody's going to yell at us.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, get off my property.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
And I'm sure they appreciate a little poo.
Yeah, it needs to be, you know, fertilized.
That's right.
I mean, we don't do that. We don't let our dog poop on people's graves.
Of course
not. Mom was just
making
a joke, like, oh, isn't that funny thing?
I will poop on your grave.
Exactly. When you die, I will walk my dog around your graveside, and he will poop and pee around it.
What do you think about that? When Julie was in Canada, they're always so polite. There was a little bit of road rage, and one of the drivers got out, and the other driver got out, and the one driver said, I will paint a portrait of you, and then in my attic, and then when it's completed, I will throw it on the ground and spit on it. Take that. You.
Whoa, dude, don't burn that many calories, okay? Because when this is over, I will forget about you.
So that's the most I can do is I will poop on your grave.
I will poop on your grave.
I will have my dog poop on your grave.
Because honestly, me pooping on your grave is a little too much for me. I'm like, I don't have that much of a grudge for me to drop drawers.
Because actually that may be like breaking the law.
I think it could be. Well, because then you cross. Well, you know what?
What do you want to say? I walk into the police station here in Dixon, Illinois, and I'm like going, oh, you know, I know that she pooped on my mother's grave.
Yes.
And they're just going to go,
how do you know it's not dog poop?
Has it been there 24 hours?
Yeah. Well, but I also know, like, why is it that when dogs poop, it's not indecent exposure.
Right.
But when a human poops out in public, is a good chance it's indecent exposure.
Well,
is that the right word?
Do you remember the very first time you saw a dog pooping?
I thought it was pretty indecent.
It's like really like emblazoned in my memory.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea how old it was, but it was a mighty big dog.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what it was doing.
Right.
Because I thought, this is an odd position.
Right.
I'd never seen a dog in this position before.
Right.
Because I think up until that time, however old I was, maybe they just like, they're like birds, are like, you know, like just like vomit, just like, right. You don't. But this dog actually was like long time, got in position,
yeah,
and did this like huge thing. And I'm like, I was like fascinated. And then I remember the time I was with, I'm a city girl, and I was with Norm at maybe 18 and his parents, and we were going for a country ride in Litchfield. And we were driving by some horses, and I screamed out, "Oh, everybody, look, a horse with five legs." And then I noticed that that really wasn't the fifth leg.
Right.
But, ha-ha, they thought I was that city girl.
That city girl.
Oh, Chrissy.
Oh, Chrissy.
You're so silly.
And deep down, you probably you knew that wasn't a fifth leg. Or did you really?
I did not know. I was that naive.
Yes.
And, of course, now I know a lot about the world. I listen to Dan Savage.
Yes, you know a lot about the world.
Yeah. I know the word ducky.
I have no idea.
No?
No, I don't know what that means.
No, Dan this week, one of his callers said that her boyfriend has a, and I'm not gonna say the word, but I'm gonna spell it, C-U-M, that word. But he had an adjective before it.
Dukaki.
A Dukaki load of C-U-M.
Yeah.
And I had never heard of Dukaki before.
Wasn't there a famous motorcycle? Dukaki?
Ducati.
Ducati. Maybe she said Ducati.
And there was a famous presidential candidate, Dukakis.
Yes.
So there's a... So
it's right there.
The
millennials have taken all these three words and melded them together.
They absconded and appropriated Dukaki and
meaning a ton. Meaning...
Rethinking.
Yeah. Or high quality.
I would say a high amount, vast amount.
Yes.
Only because the explanation that Dan gave on how to solve that Dukaki problem was probably not appropriate for the radio for me now.
No, I agree. Because it was more like, don't take the first two sips. Do the third.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always in for that because
the problem was he tried to tell you where to put the first two sips.
Yeah. And you're just like, ugh, oh God.
Yeah.
And he never tells you really, like, how about the towel? You know, it's, or how about a sock? It's not like those things. It's always a body part. I'm like, oh man.
I was thinking that I liked it when he said over the shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell's over you? Like, you got your, you know.
Like, you throw salt. It's good luck. Hello. You throw it over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Make a wish. Or it keeps away the bad spirits.
He's obviously not a householder.
Exactly.
And has to clean up afterwards.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nobody wants to work that hard.
I do want to say one thing, because I do think that today this show is going to be about revisiting old bones.
You know,
that's my...
Is that your surprise for me?
That's my surprise.
Because you said, Mama, let me take care of this today.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden now I'm like revisiting the old bones.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah. And so, but I want to say this about Dan Savage, because he did bring up one interesting question that I wanted to hear his take on it. And I will propose this question to you.
To me or to the audience?
To the audience.
Okay.
So anyway, this woman was going, you know, dating casually using an app. And I'm going to be really honest with you. I'm all confused. So, you know, it was called Winker. I don't know.
Are you telling me the truth?
I don't know if
it's called Winker?
Yeah, I think it's called Winker. What is it called, Winker?
I never heard of Winker before.
I haven't either. I really am making this up.
Oh,
We're in
fantasy territory right now.
The name of the app. I don't remember the exact name of the app. I'm calling it Winker.
Okay. God, can I call it Winker?
Sure, you call it Winker. Okay. I like it. Yeah. You know. Anyway, so, and she found one she liked. She sent him a little direct message or whatever, and they started chit chatting online or however, and they liked each other, and then he comes up and says, by the way, before we meet...
Because they have an actual date they're going to meet.
I just want to let you know that I no longer look like my picture because I've been kind of sick lately.
Yeah.
And I don't look like my picture. Yeah. And people... He goes, because I really don't even know if we should meet because after we meet, people don't want to see me anymore and so forth. And she's like, but I've been sick. And he goes, well, send me a picture of what you look like. Now, she didn't describe the before and after, but she says, I know I was no longer attracted to him. Right. And I didn't want to see him.
Right.
So I'm guessing first off,
and she
only,
told him the truth.
Yeah. There's only a hookup app.
Right.
And so, and then she goes, then I got the berating of like, well, it should be about personality and all about
this. Then
he
was really angry with her.
Angry with her. Uh-huh. And then I had to go to the store. So I didn't hear I had to press pause. Thank God about, you know what? This is what I love about podcasts, right? You know, I get to press pause, do my work, and then come back. And during this whole
suspense,
time,
you're like wondering.
Yes, I'm like, what's he going to say? I have my idea. I think this guy's a little shithead. You know, I think he's doing his own little experiment and he wants to shame everybody, you know, and so forth. That was my take.
Right.
I always have a cynical take to this all like, oh, you're some social justice person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't be on an app.
I know you're so worried about that because you're going into Chicago today.
Yes.
The big city. And I wanted you to look your most fabulous.
Yes.
So I gave you a pair of my hoop earrings.
Yes.
And you looked awesome in them. And then you said, I'm taking him off right now, mother.
Right.
I said, why? And you said, because people were going to assume that I have appropriated these from the Mexican community.
No, Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican community.
That's what I heard. I heard somebody say you cannot wear hoops because there have been
you appropriated that.
Now, I think it's totally BS.
But what can we keep of our own that we haven't appropriated from some other culture?
Well, Jesus. But we took
Hello?
Him from Jews.
No. He's from Mesopotamia.
That's true. Well, no, I mean, well, I'm from Mesopotamia. That's where we are going to the cradle of life.
Yes.
Back to Garden of Eden, yes. The metaphor, yeah. The reality.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I can guarantee you, mm-hmm. I will bet that you have some Puerto Rican in you.
I'm sure I do. I'm sure I have had. I have had. Does that count? If I have had some Puerto Rican, does that make a difference?
I think it's okay if you can say that I have had a Puerto Rican in me, and then you can wear hoops earrings.
If you get your, you know, 23andMe done, if you really look at those
I'm
things,
I'm telling you, you've got a little Puerto Rican in you.
I'm sure, but I mean, yeah. It literally is, you know. We are, if you're going to go back to the beginning, we're like stars, okay?
We're
stardust. We're all made from carbon.
But we're made of the stuff that the galaxy is made of.
Exactly.
And if we're made of carbon, we're made of diamonds.
Exactly.
And don't you feel good about yourself right now?
And don't make me feel bad. See, here's the dealio. You only are young once in the sense of...
And you can be this stupid.
Yes, and you're
going I'm going to allow. There's a small window,
probably a decade,
that these young people can be this stupid.
And then after that, mm-hmm. you're going to live 80 effing years, and it's going to be funny.
And at some point, you're going to want to put your hoops on.
So I know I'm not going to wear the hoops.
Right.
Well, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to wear the hoops. You know why?
Good.
Because the hoops you found.
Yes.
They're not the specific. They're more the Italian hoops that grandmother
Thank
bought.
Thank you.
From Italy. They really brought came
Thank
from Italy.
You. Right.
And if anybody gets in my face,
right.
I'm going to be like, these hoops.
You give them the finger.
Came from my grandmother
right.
as well as this bracelet that I'm wearing.
That's right.
She got that from her Aunt Annie from Italy.
Right.
And guess what? And if you're appropriating my Italian heritage
right
now.
That's right.
My Italian heritage.
Exactly.
So, but
don't take it, girlfriend.
Right. So, I mean, we're in a melting pot. We're
salable. It's a new word now.
Yeah, we're not
melting. We are not allowed to say melting pot anymore because America is now a tossed salad.
That's right. And I didn't get what that meant until now, meaning we're not all melding. Which I love. Have you taken your me and 23 test yet?
Yeah.
We literally are.
I remember being in fifth grade learning about melting pot and coming home and telling my parents, we're Americans. We're a melting pot. I was so proud.
Yes.
And now it's like, now I'm ashamed to say melting pot. Now I must say tossed
salad. You must. I'm a tossed salad.
Yeah. And I don't even know because
you know,
like
some
a Caesar
social scientist
yeah.
just loved coming up with that metaphor.
Yeah.
And you know, he didn't say it. And tossed initially. He goes, we're, you know, guys, we're more like a wink, wink salad. Possibly a tossed salad? You know, we're striving for a tossed salad.
Yeah.
Right now, which is a salad you get from Walmart where everything is kind of still separated.
Yeah.
It's less in the bottom and it takes up twice
but
as much
what
as
happens
everything else.
If it's in your fridge for a couple of days?
Toss it out.
A melting pot.
Yeah, melting pot, yeah.
In the salad bowl of life, Julie, I think you're the croutons. No, excuse me. Normano's a crouton.
I'm a little stale.
What's those things that are in a Caesar salad? Those
crouton.
Fishies.
Oh, anchovy?
Yeah.
In Please the tossed don't salad. Call me an anchovy.
Oh, okay.
I have not felt right. fresh this last couple of days.
Okay.
Don't, please.
I'll own it. In the tossed salad of life, I'm the anchovy.
You know why? Because you're exceptionally salty.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a little salty.
You're a little salty.
We were talking. You're going.
No, you're a lot salty for a little bit of you.
We were going. You're going to this famous Chicago restaurant today. And you're also going to an Elton John show. Well, not Elton, but his
tribute.
His knockoff dude.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Which is only 1/10 the price. Thank the Lord.
Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
I'll take the 10. I'm sorry. I'll do the $10 knockoff to 10 to the knockoff any day if it's only 1/10 the price.
In the salad bowl of life, this guy is like, he's like the romaine lettuce. I don't know. He's not the.
Right.
He's not the. What is it?
I think he's the iceberg.
He's the iceberg. Yeah, that'd be better. That'd be better.
You know, because. Because Elton's a romaine.
Yes.
He gets in trouble once in a while. Right. Has to be, you know, he's a little too preserved.
He makes you get diarrhea.
Yeah, exactly. But here, this guy, he's just the iceberg. Goes good with
he's
French
dressing.
He's just
the tip of the iceberg.
Tip of the iceberg. Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, so you're going to one of these famous restaurants beforehand.
A Chevelle.
And we were trying to describe to your brother yesterday why this restaurant is famous, and you were saying because it is famous for umami, and Greg's like, "What the hell is umami?
Umami?"
And then you said, "Well, Greg, it's you know, it's one of the it's the new flavor or whatever because food is classified into sweet, salty, is it savory?
No, sweet, salty,
sour, savory." And they now have discovered, just like they discovered a new, you know, galaxy or something.
Yes.
They discovered a new flavor. And that flavor is called umami.
Bitter, by the way, is one of them.
Bitter.
So a category of taste in food besides sweet, sour, salt, and bitter corresponds to the flavor of glutamates, especially monosodium glutamate, which is MSG.
Oh, so Julie's going to a very famous restaurant that featuring MSG, which has been kind of like, hasn't it been against the FDA for 3 decades? It just simulates.
It simulates it. What it is, it's a really deep, savory thing. It's sort of like
I consider it this.
Pretzels.
It not, is it umami? I say, here's the thing. You take anything that you love and you toss an egg over it, like a fried egg, but that's soft in the middle.
That's so what you say, yes.
And then that becomes umami.
And I don't know if that's true, but everybody who does that does it.
Thank you for saying that. You don't know if it's true, but that... Have you ever not seen any umami food that hasn't had an egg over it?
No, you're totally right, because I think the egg balances out the umami flavor. Because think about, what do you, MSG, right?
Correct.
Okay, what did you usually get MSG in?
Chinese food.
Yes, have you?
Oh, my God.
How do they make Chinese food better?
Appropriate another culture.
No. They throw an egg in it.
Oh,
like when you have fried
egg foo young.
And when you have rice.
Fried rice.
There's always an egg in there.
There's always to make
and
it
so
better.
I think that somehow evens out, the creaminess even out that strong MSG flavor.
Umami flavor.
Yes. And I hope, you know.
Yeah, don't really, you can go and consult the Food Channel.
Yeah.
Don't take our word for it.
I mean, I did just literally read it off of Wikipedia or, you know, Wikipedia.
That's our famous last line. Don't take our word for it.
Do what you want. Do what you want. But anyway, okay, going down sandwich real quick.
Yeah.
Talking about, so this, you know.
The Ducati?
No, the one about.
Oh, the girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he did agree with me, which he's being a jerk.
Right.
He goes, if you don't put a picture of who you really are at this moment, you are lying.
He called him a liar.
He called him a liar.
And that, you know what? That's the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly,
you're just a big fat liar.
Yes. And honestly, I'm first of all, I'm like going, well, what do you look like now that you have to, that people are so offended that you no longer even slightly resemble?
But here's the thing. Don't you say, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say you were all cool. Like, okay, you saw this great picture of the guy and he says 2.5 hours before the date, he goes, I got to prepare you. I don't look like my picture because I've been ill. And then he gets, and then you go, okay, so I get it. It's all about personality. I'm on Grindr or Tinder or Wander or whatever.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to ask a question. Is a tagline for Wander or Grindr, Tinder? Hey, it's all about personality.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. It's a cult of personality. No. So let's say you agree to hook up.
Yeah.
Here's my thought.
Yeah.
What the hell made you this sick?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm having sex with you.
Oh, my
because,
God. Exactly.
Thank you.
Oh, my. I didn't even
thank
think about
you.
That way.
Thank
Boom.
You.
Boom. Thank you.
Enough said.
Yeah.
I don't no longer think it's a,
oh, my God. Mom, you just connected all the dots.
Thank you.
Subconsciously, your mind's going, hello, you procreate with people. Because, even though sex is only just for fun now, or because we get, you know, whatever. However, in the back of your mind going, maybe I shouldn't have sex with this person. He's so sick.
Hello. I don't care how politically correct you are.
And I really, and is it steroids? Were they on steroids? They got the steroid face? Because I've had that before, you know? You know, like, you know how sometimes your face gets a little poofy when you're taking from steroids?
I didn't get the sense that he was poofy.
No, I got, well, my feeling is it wasn't the same picture. I mean, I think a different person.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was doing a scientific experiment to make
Jules.
People.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, there are a lot of sick Fs out there.
He's doing a scientific experiment.
In his own mind, a social justice thing. Yeah. He's doing a thesis. Yeah. He wants to know.
If you're going to come up with that one, I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. I think he's an incel giving himself more and more reasons to shoot.
To hate women.
To hate women and shoot up a crowd of churchgoers.
You know, I had a friend. I think I talked about this a couple of years ago. She's past this stage. This is like 5 or 6 years ago. She went through a stage where she got divorced and then immediately went on the apps and like not just – and then it was hooking up randomly.
Yeah.
And I'd get a call just in the text saying, hey, just let you know.
I'm in a white van.
I'm in a white van. Just want to make you know. I'm meeting this person at Grubstakers. All is well. But he's got a white cargo van. I'm like – Jesus.
If you don't see me or hear from me in, you know, 48 hours.
I'm like, oh my God. I mean, okay. This heightens the experience. I get it. And so forth. But there was one person. I mean, this is how small the world is.
Oh, this is a great story, by the way.
So, you know.
This is a good story, people. We're revisiting today.
Yeah. I was helping Dad out years ago, and we were dealing with sand and, you know, picking up sand loads and taking it to Michigan and so forth. And there was this one sand place I was going to, and
not near us at all.
About an hour and a half away,
right? Easily.
And, by chance, there was a woman that worked in the place, and also a man that worked in the place, and he was probably 10 years older than me at the time, and not unattractive, but not, you know, just a normal looking dude, you
like
know?
Not a dude, a dood,
probably,
yeah.
And maybe a dud.
All know what those guys look like.
Yeah. I wasn't necessarily like physically attracted by him, but I wasn't physically offended by him either. I didn't think anything of it because it's a workplace.
And you're wearing masks to keep the sand out of your lungs.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not there for that.
Everybody's wearing masks.
So basically, though, somehow they now know that I am. So I get a call from my friend saying, hey, I'm hooking up with somebody and I think he works with you. And I'm like, I work with my father, so unless you're fucking my father, you know my dad. Knock it off, Melissa. And if he's on this app, tell me now, because he's dead to me.
You do the Home Alone on your on your cheeks.
What?
My dad.
What? You're doing my dad? Stop. And he goes, no, not your father. I'm like, oh, thank the Lord. He goes, no, if I saw him, I mean, you know, I've always had a crush on your dad, but still. I'm like, okay. He goes, no, he works at this one sand plant. I'm like, oh my God.
Not only that, but Julie, you go to like, at that point in your time, you're going to like 10 sand plants.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my
Which
God.
One?
I go, yeah, I know this guy. I go, yeah, this is crazy. What a small world. And then she asks me the next question. What do you think about him? I'm like, I don't know what you mean. What do I think about him? Because I'm woke enough not to answer that question.
Right. And she's thinking at this point she would do a threesome.
I don't know about that, because that's not... is that what you think the question was about? Well, then that would have been no. Because I believe in Dan Savage law, which is...
Campground theory?
No, if I'm going to have a threesome, it's going to be someplace I don't know anybody.
Yeah. All right, here's the thing. If you're going to have a threesome, you're going to be the special star.
Yes.
Because that's how he always says, if there's a third one involved, then that person has to be so special and treated so beautifully.
Yeah,
special guest star.
He used to say that was a unicorn experience.
Correct.
If it was a couple and there was a woman that wanted to be involved in that.
Right. That's a unicorn.
She hasn't mentioned that very much.
Rare.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but it wasn't a unicorn experience.
I don't know.
No, but anyway,
she wanted me to ask. Yeah.
He came up to you like, hey, Julie.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's funny because I did not know this was part of the thing about the three. He did say that. He was all like, she wanted me to tell her more about what he looked like. And I go, you've seen his picture. And he goes, yeah, it looks pretty good. I'm like, okay, there you go. You know?
And then you go, I only saw him with the sand mask on.
Yeah, I go, I don't know. He's a dude. I don't know. I mean, he's a 50-year-old guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
See, now, you and I, when we travel and we see these guys on the side of the road that are like, you know, chopping down trees and stuff like that or working on the lines.
Yeah.
We don't mind those dudes. Some of those dudes are really cute.
Yeah. See, here's how I put men. Honestly, here's how I.
Yeah.
There's a top 10. Here, you have a bell curve.
Right.
Top 10% are way out of my league. And I go, but they're nice to look at, you know.
We enjoy
bottom
those.
10, I would like
to
help
them.
We
give money to.
Yeah. the middle 80, there's a whole range in there. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're wearing blinders.
Yeah. You brush your teeth, take showers. Good for you. Awesome. All is well in the world. Listen, at some point, we all start looking
our doggies.
Androgynous.
I like my line better.
It's exactly like our doggies. And androgynous. And, depending on where we are hormonally, it is like, But I guess now with Botox, we still all look very surprised, and so forth. Surprised with no wrinkles. Like, oh, God. So
I was like, when Nancy Pelosi gave her little speech this week, I asked you, the only thing that was like surprising to me is like, how do you get your eyebrows that arched?
That arched.
Like that high. And you went, Botox, mother. Silly girl.
Well, I don't know how freezing your face makes your eyebrows go up.
I don't either.
That's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
And but we're all starting to look the same, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, back to Dan Savage.
Okay.
Oh, but back to my friend.
Right.
And so I was kind enough. I'm like, he's fine. I mean, he's a dude. I don't know what you want from me, And then after the date... And after they had coitus, is that the right word?
Coitus.
Mm-hmm. She then called me afterwards saying, well, I wish you'd give me a heads up. I go, I'm not sure what you mean by this.
Yeah, what was it?
I go, he's a little bigger than I thought he was going to be. And it was a little hard to get around.
She said straddle him.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Because she also told you the same story, I guess.
She did.
And I go, well, you've seen his picture. He goes, the picture was a little bit deceiving. And I'm like, ugh. And so here's the deal. Now, it wasn't.
She lived with him for like several months, didn't she?
No, she didn't. It's a one date thing.
Oh, it's just one time?
Was that an embellishment to the story or no?
No, I thought she actually lived with him for a while.
No, it was. She didn't.
Oh, okay.
No, the problem I have with it, though, here's the whole problem of the story.
Yeah.
One is... He then talked to me after the effect. I mean, it didn't stop her from having, coitus with him.
No.
So she did. It just wasn't a twosome. I mean, like, it was going to be like a one-time thing.
Oh, I wouldn't call that a twosome. Have a second one.
It wasn't a two-timer.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then afterwards, I then have to hear from him about how she's so wild. And I'm like, dude, I'm telling you right now,
Don't dare say that. She's my best friend from high school.
I know. I go, listen, I cannot talk about this at work.
What'd you say?
I can't talk about this at work.
Oh.
I just can't do it.
Yeah, you better not.
Yeah. Well, at that point.
That is not water cooler talk.
She does what she does. That's it. So don't even go there. Because now I feel less. Yeah. I can't just be friendly to the guy.
No, now you have to do. You have to talk about, you know.
Before I could be friendly, no one thought anybody was getting any action. Yeah. But now that he knows that my best friend in the whole wide world is giving him action, maybe he's thinking, maybe I can get some more action.
Yeah.
No.
I'm still curious, even though, about the straddling thing.
Yes.
Because, I mean, unless you're like really, really, really huge, it seems like that part of the body can still be straddled. I'm thinking like big belly, maybe.
Yeah,
but
probably.
But you can go down lower than that.
I don't know. I really did not want to know. All she said
all right.
You know, hard time straddling. And yeah, I'm okay. But see, back dance. But here's the thing. If he would have just given a real picture.
Yeah.
And also, too, we all know it's shooting ourselves in selfies at the right angle can take 30, 40, 100 pounds off, you know? I mean, it really can.
Hey, do you know how the word selfie became a word?
I do not know.
I learned this on Jeopardy this week. It was in 2001, and some MMA fighter snapped a picture of his bloodied big lip after a fight.
Yeah.
And underneath it put one word, S-E-L-F-I-E.
No way. He started it?
And that went, that's it. That's
he
how it
should
started.
Have trademarked
somehow.
Them. Oh, my
he
God.
Should have.
Bravo. Do you know that guy's name?
No.
Frank Selfie?
You can probably, you know, ask Alexa if you needed to.
I don't need to at the moment.
But that's how I heard it on Jeopardy.
Smart.
Yeah. Another thing I heard on Jeopardy this week, too.
Yeah.
You were telling me about, you wanted to solve the conflicts and you were interested in peace, and you said that men do not ever they make war, not peace. And I told you a story about something that I had heard on Jeopardy.
Right.
Do you want to repeat that story?
Sure, I'll repeat it real quick. That sounds great.
I think it's valuable in terms of, since we're being smart,
I just don't
and talking
know. Can
about
I ask you
Jeopardy.
A question? I don't know how Jeopardy sets these questions up, because these are literally 4-second questions. And the story you told me that you learned from Jeopardy took you a half an hour to tell me. So I'm like, wow, how did you, was it a whole category about this? I don't know. But here it is in a nutshell. Back in the day, we had two huge fighting kings.
Correct.
And kingdoms.
Kings and kingdoms.
And it was going to take down humanity.
True.
It was so bad.
Yeah. Worse than the flood.
Worse than the flood.
Yes.
And the only way to stop was the two queens got together and say.
Had tea.
Yes. Had tea and say, we must tell all of our female women of the kingdoms to deny the men sex unless they have peace. And so the answer was, Alex, what is sex? What did the two queens tell their
kingdom to deny all their females to deny their men until peace reigned across the lands?
Alex, what is coitus?
Yes.
What is sex?
Yes.
What is, and you're like, yes. I'm like, and so I go, see, so, there it is.
And why not update that?
Right.
But oh no, women are liberated. We got to have sex when and where we want.
No, I've got it. What if we had like a goals app?
Yeah.
That you'd have all these women going, yeah, I go, tell me your goals in life.
Right.
And I will have sex with you when you hit your milestones. So like, hey, Sarah, I'm really thinking you're great. Oh, cool. I'm going to keep doing my Peloton for you. But when you buy your first house and sell it for a profit of 35%, we're going to do it. And I'm going to bang you to history, you know, bang you back in history. Like, all right, ma'am, you got it. I'm going to town. I'm going to get that. I'm going to build that house for us, you know. And like,
so you're saying that you sex as the goal.
I mean,
as a reward.
Right.
For hitting your goals.
Because maybe now we've made either sex, either nobody's doing it, or we're doing it so casually it means literally nothing.
Yeah, it means
nothing. So, you know, women are now taking care of their own, which is good. I mean, it's all good. It's just what it is. But maybe young men would like a little bit like something to work for.
You know what? I get you now. I was thinking you were saying for the females to reach their goals, then they have find some good male sex. But you're saying for the men to reach their goals to get some good female sex.
Yes. Women don't need good sex to reach their goals. We're like reaching them all on our own. We're like, we're fine.
We need the men to get out of our way to reach our goals.
I go, I'm going to reach my goals. And I just want you to be kind to me and talk to me and like maybe help me to pick up the luggage, the trash, all this stuff. You know, I don't, you know, and so forth. But that's what I think.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that it could somehow translate until, you know,
well,
to this time
in history.
You
heard that from Alex Trebek. But we also heard from Jordan Peterson.
Yes. Our two heroes this week.
Yeah. Talking about the idea that that women typically help make men better.
100%.
You know?
Yes.
And that's why our father's doing so well, because he's got two women just on his ass all the time.
I know. Can I relate to something this morning?
Yes.
We were getting ready to do the show and everything, and Julie wanted a little, cottage cheese on toast or something, yeah. You know? And so I said, Norm, do you think you could make, you know, each of us a slice of toast before the show while we're getting ready and everything? And he just kind of went and was doing everything else. And then
he agreed to it right away.
Yeah.
So he had already said, yeah, no problem. And then.
No, he didn't do it.
He wasn't moving. He wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
And then you said something, you go, hey,
and this is how I talk to your father.
I go, oh,
by the way, do you think you might think about doing this before?
You do not talk to him like that. You do not. You don't ever ask, you never get a response from him. He goes, oh, and so, yeah, so I see you're going to get, you know, or like, oh, yeah, soon you're going to get, soon, you said to me, like, hey, soon we're going to get our toast and cottage cheese, or are you going to, something like.
I said, or do you want to wait till after the show?
Oh, yeah, you go, do you want to wait till after the show?
Because it looked like it was not coming.
Yeah. And then Dad goes, what'd you say, Chrissy? And I just said, put the toast in the toaster now. Put the toast in the toaster. Put butter in the toaster. Do it now.
Yeah.
Don't take the dog out. No. Don't give yourself a cup of coffee.
That's exactly how she said it. And at that moment, I had a cup of coffee in my mouth. I almost did a spit take.
Yes.
Because he went, oh, okay. And he went right to do it. I'm like, damn, I can't ever get that out of him.
And I said, I'm the translator.
Yes. And also, but that is the truth, though. That's why Dad is so good.
Right.
Is that he has two women making him better. However,
yes.
We have pledged
to give him this best life ever.
Which
we do.
He and Elliot, we give both of them their best life ever. But if they should cross us,
we're dead.
You know what happened to Elliot?
That's right. Exactly.
He no longer has.
Metaphorically, his are already gone. Or you have them in your pocket.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So I buried him, and then when it was just nothing but bones, we dug it up. and made a necklace out of it.
You pull them out of your pocket once in a while just to show, just remind him, hey, they're right here, honey.
Yeah.
They're right here. They can be reattached anytime you want. Just need a proof to me that you're worthy of them. You might not be worthy of them. I don't know. I'm keeping them safe for you. Because if you had them, you'd just be using them anyway you want to.
Exactly. You'd be on that app with.
Yeah, who knows? Crazy talk. Okay, so anyway. I was listening, just talking about old bones. I was listening to, here's a side Alex Trebek tidbit, by the way. I think it was in 1600 and something, or was it 1800
1610?
I don't know. Can't remember the exact date, but 1600 or 1800, something like that. This one guy in England writes this poem or this letter about this bone he found, and it's a huge thigh bone, and it wasn't an elephant. He's like, he went to all these people. I think it was 1600. I think maybe it might have been 1800.
It was 1610, Julie.
Are you know the story?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, and
I don't know if this is the part that's important, though.
Well, the part of the poem is that he, after searching all the animals that were around,
right.
He decided that this bone
yeah.
was the bone of a giant.
Right.
And that was the only logical thing.
Right.
Now, the truth of the matter is,
uh-huh.
Occam's razor answer
yeah.
than the truth. And the truth was,
uh-huh.
it was a dinosaur bone.
Oh my God. I was going to say mastodon.
Yeah, there you go. You would have been correct. And yeah. the Don at the end.
Yeah.
You know, or a Rex. One of those two. Any one of those two. That would have been a right answer.
Yeah.
But
he thought giant.
He goes, this has to be a giant. What else is it? But it wasn't giant. It was a dinosaur bone.
Yeah.
But can you imagine, though, finding this and like going, I know what this is.
Yeah.
But holy mother of God.
Yeah.
And then you go, wait a minute. What if the stories from the Bible, they saw these bones, they didn't know what they were, and they really were dinosaur bones instead of giant bones?
Instead of giants.
But the giants are like dinosaurs. I mean, I don't know. A giant is a dinosaur in some sense.
In what way?
Big. Oh. Really extremely big.
Imaginary.
Dinosaurs are not imaginary. Nor are giants. They're real. Okay, so I thought that was just very interesting.
Yes.
Interesting tidbit.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, I was on Blog Talk Radio because we did Blog Talk Radio
in 2009.
Back in the day.
Yes.
Every day we used to do them.
Yes.
We used to interview authors,
yeah,
too.
We had a daily program called Morning Rituals.
Yes.
In 2009. We've been doing this for 10 years.
Yes. And
it may not sound like it,
but we have been. And we've done a lot of, it's funny, we went to interviewing people.
Yeah,
we've talked about specific prosperity and spiritual laws of success.
Yes.
And the one thing we like it all, but the truth is we're just happier doing this,
making ourselves laugh.
Yeah, making ourselves laugh. And that's just for us, better.
And then tough titties to you guys.
Yeah.
No. We love you.
When we
we get our Netflix next special, you know,
yes,
and we're signing our book.
Yes.
You know, please come in and visit us.
For sure.
Say hi.
I agree totally. And so anyway, last night, I go, oh my God,
it's 2:00 in the morning.
I've got 30 hours.
You're traveling.
I've kept on Blog Talk. We had over 236 hours,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
And I needed to get rid of some of them because I was realizing Blog Talk's, you know, charging me because they're holding some, like, 200 hours. I'm like, screw
Which
that.
Which is one thing, another thing that we don't have time to talk about today, but I will talk to you about how these little charges eat away at your budget if you don't watch
and
out.
Your soul.
Yeah.
And your soul. And now since Disney now has their own little charging thing. Everybody wants their piece, right?
Right.
Okay, so then I decided last night to listen to us.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
Right.
We interviewed James...
Gillian. G-I-L-L-I-A-N-D. And he's still around, I believe.
Yes. The first thing, he's from that one ranch.
Right.
Out in the plains.
Right. Out by Washington State.
And how they see the
orbs and lights and UFOs, yes.
And the first thing that was amazing is that, first of all, we tried to have our NPR voice.
Yes.
I go, oh, hello, Christine. Hello, Christine Marie. And, oh, today we are so privileged to have James. I go, oh, James, by the way, Christine and I have had this discussion. Is it a hard G or is it a soft G? And, you know, for your name.
Oh,
and
no.
And he's like, oh. And he goes, well, Christine Marie goes, really, it is a hard G. And I don't even go by my last name. It's like, it's just Gillian. He goes, but it's just James G. James G. I'm like, oh, James G. Love it.
Just like Kenny G.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said.
No, I didn't.
Exactly.
No,
what
I didn't.
Said.
Oh, my
just
God.
Like Kenny G.
Oh, my God.
And now, here's the more funny part. I enjoyed the whole hour.
So you could go see, you guys can go to Blog Talk Radio and hear this episode.
Life of the Girlfriends, Christine.
2009.
Marie and Julie, 2009. And, but what was so funny, I just got to share this part with
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
First off, we were talking 2 or 3 minutes beforehand,
uh-huh,
like, and he was on listening. Now.
Is it our NPR voice really still?
Yes, and you're, but yes. It
oh yeah,
was.
That's right. They used to be on the air listening to us leading up to their interview.
Right.
That's right.
And you said, and it was so funny because you go like this, oh Julie, you know, we've had a really busy day. We had to help your father with trucking. And so I feel ill-prepared for this interview. But I'm letting Source come through and speak through me because I have for sure followed this man for years. Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a little starstruck, to say the least. And I'm just like,
But
I love how you said, oh, sorry, guy, who I'm. You're giving me an hour of your time. I am ill-prepared for this interview.
OMG.
And I'm like, I'm not ill-prepared. I've got tons of questions. I know exactly what I'm going to ask him.
Yeah.
And then what was even funnier, he goes, James G., I know you from your Yahoo group. I'm like, oh, my God, Yahoo group.
That's a blast from the past.
A blast from the past. You know? And then, and then so we're talking to him, and he's talking about, his meditations, because we met. I go, yes. And I go, on your YouTube channel, you've been putting up meditations for people. And he goes, yes, one's dropping today, actually. Thank you for bringing that up. And we talked about orbs. But some fascinating things which I was driving when listening to this. Yeah. I literally almost had to pull over and like laugh my ass off.
No, no.
Because what I said was so ridiculous.
Yeah, tell me.
I go, oh. It's 2010, actually, I think it is.
Okay. All right.
And it's the December 2010.
Oh, wow.
And I go,
10 years
James,
ago this month.
I don't know what you thought about this year, James, but I almost feel like this year was such a hard year that it's just really setting us up for 2011. I'm like, well, what does a year do? Every year.
No, but remember back then, 2011. Was supposed to be the apocalypse.
Well, 2012.
Oh, no, 2012. You're right. Yeah, you're
and
right.
And he goes, oh, Julie, I totally agree with you. People are so into 2012, but the new energy is here already.
Oh.
And that's what you're feeling.
Oh.
And I'm like,
the
oh,
yes.
But I just thought, oh, how... This is why we stopped doing it in some ways, because we tried so hard to sound... We were into
NPR.
The energy.
Yeah.
NPR.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. Like, I'm like, well, yeah. You know, obviously 2010, such a year for 2011.
We really did try hard, though. I mean, we interviewed hundreds of people.
Yes.
Well, and didn't it get a little tiresome, though, to have to read their books first?
And most people don't do that.
Not anymore.
We do.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam Carolla talks about when he does his interviews.
Does he read the books or not?
Not for him. He does some of them. He does.
Yeah.
But when he does his junket,
yeah.
He knows exactly who's read and who doesn't read.
Okay, yeah.
And he goes like Gail, Oprah's friend.
Yeah.
She read his book.
Oh, good.
And so he goes, oh, she's a professional.
Yeah.
So I don't mind being a professional.
No, I didn't either, but it got, I mean, some of them were treaties on things.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them were really long. And I always appreciated their press kit.
Yes.
Which was the questions they wanted you to ask.
Right.
Because they had their answers prepared.
Well, because one person I did interview, I had read her book.
Yeah.
And it was a book that she had written 2 or 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And a question that I had
asked
her.
Yeah.
She had no idea where it was coming from.
Uh-huh.
And now she goes, you know what? I'm not sure what my answer on that is yet. I go, oh, you know what? That's okay. I just found, you know, when you read something, you take what you read and you pertain it to your own personal life.
Right.
And so this, I'll read it to you because this line hit me in a special way.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I have no idea.
Well, I remember after we got off the interview with James Gillian, you know, I still wanted to talk to him because I really truly was a fangirl.
Yes, you
of
were.
His. And he was the one that told me about Mexican vacation dentistry.
Yes.
Because he said he had been gone for 2 weeks down to Tijuana or some Yuma or next that town in Mexico next to Yuma, Arizona.
Yeah.
And he had had all his dental work.
What the hell is that town
called? He had something like, he said he had like $8,000 worth of dental work done in like 2 weeks. But he said up here it would have cost him about $40,000.
Yeah.
And so that was the first time I'd ever heard about these dental vacations.
Yeah.
And but I remember when we were really digging into that regarding Nirmano.
Yeah.
I mean, we explored that terrain for about a year.
We did, and we came
we
up to the
everything.
Fact that it wasn't a perfect fit for us.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
That's what we found. Because ultimately, it came down to us sending Doug with him.
Yeah.
And then
he couldn't go by himself. And then we were just like, oh, forget it. Let's just have it here. We'll take care of it. You know, a couple of things about the interview I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
It was a great interview, by the
way.
We did a great job. Very entertaining. Very sweet.
Yeah. Do you think we should have go back to that stuff?
No, I don't think
so.
We'll talk about not here at this moment. Let's
No.
Let's not bring up those old bones.
No. Okay, well,
however,
I just feel a little sad.
I know. However, what was interesting about it was he talked about Mother Mary showing up, which is interesting, is you've been channeling her. You've been channeling Padre Pio.
Yes.
Who've been also talking about
Archangel
Mary,
Michael and Mother Mary.
And so that her energy's been showing up, that they've actually had pictures of her presence there. I thought that was very interesting.
Yes, thank
you. She talked about how...
For telling me that.
You asked him how he got into this in the beginning. He had a couple of near-death experiences. One was a little kid, something happened to him, and also as a, I think, a teenager.
Was it when he almost drowned?
And he almost drowned.
Like that?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
And as we like to say, he had a near-death experience, so we don't have to.
Right.
And he traveled to this other dimension, or... dimension or plane, he called it the bliss plane. Mm-hmm. And now that was very interesting, but what he described it is not something it's a place I'm very comfortable with, because you've been there.
Right.
And he talks about the energy being gold and white light.
Oh.
And that, what realm is that for you?
12th ray.
Mm-hmm. Ray. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was very interesting.
Yes.
I also felt, I thought it was so synchronistic listening to this episode, because we've talked about how we're needing this. This has been a hard year for us.
Yes.
This has been a year. You know how you always want to have like the stock ticker, you want to all be green going up, right?
Right.
And a nice little straight ski ramp, right?
Yeah, just right up the mountain.
Yeah, always going up. However, this was a year that more looks like a jagged.
Yeah, tiny jagged pill.
Yeah, and at the end of it, going, well, some things look different and better. Other things are being set up for a great 2020.
Right.
You know, that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying. And some things that have actually slid back a little bit, maybe a little readjustments needed.
Backslider.
You know.
Backslider.
Exactly. So working on those things and so forth, because you know, Mom and I, we are always about progress. We're always about personal growth and personal mastery. We're also about telling it like it is. Because if anybody tells you that they're perfect in all their goals and life lessons, they're bullshitting you.
They're a liar. Just like that guy that took his picture and sent it on Grindr.
Yeah.
To that poor girl.
And then saying, oh, by the way, I don't look like this. I know you're waxing things, getting ready for our big night out because you think I look like Brad Pitt. I've been sick. You're like, okay. But thank you for picking up on that sickness,
thank
by the
you.
way.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I did not get that.
Yeah, I'm a mother.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick up on that stuff.
Yeah, like
no kid of mine's going to be dating somebody that's infectious.
Yes, exactly. I mean, at least on the first date, that would seem ridiculous.
Yeah.
You got to have like, hey, oh, so-and-so's infectious. I got to go take care of him. Like, well, how long have you been dating? A couple of years. Well, that's your job.
Yeah.
You got to take one of the
chicken soup. Chicken noodle soup.
Take your vitamin C and your zinc.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know what kind of infections they're talking about. But, you know, just like in Sterling Rock Falls, infection capital of the world for chlamydia.
Yeah.
I mean,
big increase.
Yeah. And that's because of they have the anonymous sex parties, and people could be having sex with their own relations and not even know it because everybody wears big head masks. Oh, can I tell you something?
Sure.
You know who got unmasked on
No.
The Masked Singer? Patti LaBelle.
It was Patti LaBelle.
Patti LaBelle.
It was Patti LaBelle.
It was. And the other girl was, I don't know if you know this person, Michelle Williams. She's one third of Destiny's Child.
I do know her. So she was one. So they had two real singers.
Yes.
I remember you go, Julie, do you know who this is? And I go, that's Patti LaBelle.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God. It goes, that could be Patti LaBelle.
Yeah.
Go,
did you ever think Patti LaBelle would go on the Fox Masked Singer?
You know why? She has, it is holiday season.
Yeah.
She's got her Patti LaBelle peach cobbler.
Yeah.
Patti LaBelle pies. She's got stuff to sell.
Yeah.
You go, girl. And can I tell you, I love Patti LaBelle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know what star she was born in. She scares me.
Why she scare you?
When she had her own show on the Food Network channel,
yeah,
she used to cook, okay?
Uh-huh.
And she had like 2-inch long fingernails.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And she
nails.
Used to cook with... wearing like nylon
and long sleeves,
nylon, and material that was highly flammable, and everything she did around the stove, I fully expected her to just ignite,
catch on fire,
and have nothing left but her fingernails.
Yeah,
that's why she scared me. But kudos to her.
And you
peach
kept
cobbler.
Thinking to yourself, how can you wipe with those nails, and if you are, how can you get your whatever?
I did say that.
You're like, I just don't know if that's clean.
Yeah, and then I actually said that I hated another person on the Food Next Channel this
week.
What was
that?
Because I was looking at my Hallmark catalog.
Oh yes,
for Christmas.
Yeah.
And they have a new cookbook. For, it's $29.99. Mm-hmm. And it's Bree Drummond.
And I go, priced.
And I go, oh, she's a pioneer woman. Mm-hmm. I go, hate her.
Hate her.
Hate her.
Yeah. She's, I don't What's know if she's the, a hater, but we hate her.
I hate her. She's like the fifth largest ranch owner in America.
Yeah.
Do you need to write another book?
Yeah.
Why can't you give it to us? Why are you taking all the limelight? Why can't, why does she have to have her star be so bright and all we want is a little tiny stardust?
Yes.
Just a little tiny
bit.
We
want part of her dust.
Yeah. Is that what you want? That's right. I'll eat her dust.
There you go. You have, I'm sure. I think that it's interesting. James James G. He mentioned a time he was struggling financially because getting his ranch off the ground and so forth.
Yeah.
And he talks about this one time. If people came for energy work and healing and so forth, and wide variety of ways you can come to the ranch.
I used to give him a lot of money, by the way.
Kudos. He appreciated it, I'm sure. Yeah. So they had one woman come, and she said she was so financially broke, couldn't do this, couldn't do that, and that she couldn't afford to pay him. And so he goes, I understand. That's okay. Pay it forward. When you can pay us some, that'd be great.
Yeah.
He goes, we were having a hard time keeping the lights on. That's how bad it was. He goes, then I saw her in town and she was buying a $600 dress.
No.
And he goes, I go,
that's tough.
He goes, that was real tough. Yeah. And he goes, I realized that that was a lesson for me. And the lesson for me is I need to be able to receive and demand payment.
Right.
And I go, we talked about it. I goes, yes. Demand payment. Like, hello.
Yeah.
Put a price on it. Even if it's $50.
Yeah.
People will pay what you put in there.
She
wanted the dress. Yeah. She's going to pay $600 for the dress.
I don't know how our time is, but I remember you were saying about that you were coaching this one client.
Yes.
And she was just complaining week after week about not having any money or not enough money. And you were trying to coach her forward. And finally you said, okay, let's get real. And you said, how much debt do you have? And she said, well, I don't believe in debt. I have zero debt.
I go, okay, where are
you at? She goes,
retirement.
My
401k. We'll have a pension plan that I'll be able to have. I go, oh, okay.
And you said, I'm going to hang up for a second and I will call you right back.
Yeah.
You hung up the phone. You went, ah, ah. Oh, and then you realize people have different,
And then I thought and also too, because she was putting on the poor mouth so much that I was waiving my fee.
Yeah, you were.
And I'm just like, now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Now I'm pissed.
She's sitting there real comfortable, 401k.
Yes.
And no debt.
No debt.
Yeah. And you're waiving your fee for her.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
That's kind of how I used to feel too, because I did a lot of pro bono work back in the day.
Right. And at some point you go, okay.
At some point, you're watching their Facebook page, and they're at restaurants, taking pictures of their, $50 plate of food, and you went, really?
Yes.
Really? And you're making me waive my fee?
Yeah.
And I went, smarten up, girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Get smart.
There's enough audio out there of my healing touches. You can get all you need from there. Exactly. So, girlfriend, did we dig up enough bones today?
I think I want to.
It's
want
my birthday weekend.
Yeah.
I'm feeling old.
Yeah.
And anticlimactic. I was going to have this big, huge year planned.
Yeah. I would like for you to feel climactic this weekend.
Sure. I will. I tell you what I am going to do. This old womb is alive this weekend.
Unfortunately. That sounds like a country and western song.
Yeah, exactly. Flo's in town.
Yeah.
Hanging out with her this weekend. Great. Wonderful. It reminds me of my youth. It's a youth reminder. So, girlfriend, how was the show?
Oh, you know what, Julie? It was sweet and it was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.